This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
Question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of questions. Let's try and get through as many as we can, Hutchie, today. Anthony Jupp on Facebook. The viewing of the Melbourne Cup broke records. Well, Damo admit he was wrong. Record streams and viewers on RDC, that being, I would imagine, racing.com. Anthony, my point wasn't what was being viewed on racing.com. It was how Channel 7 came second to Channel 10.
Spot on, Anthony.
Came second to Channel 7 on Derby Day.
Spot on.
The most iconic race meeting in the country historically came second.
Well done,
to
Jimmy.
A new race, a three-year-old race, the Golden Eagle. That was my comment, Anthony. There's a few more comments on that. Like Daniel on Twitter, following on from the entertaining discussion regarding racing broadcasts, it's evident that the Channel 10 $100 million Flemington deal is a dud, given it's not even free-to-air exclusive. That is racing.com simulcasting on Channel 78 for all races. Can Hutchie think of a worse deal in his experience?
Daniel, they're not in the ratings business. They're in the revenue business. So until you understand what revenue it wrote, how can you pay $1 billion if you wrote $1.5 billion? So we don't know what revenue it created. So you can't worry about what it costs.
Well, it couldn't have created as much as what was created on Channel 7 on Derby Day, Hutchie, with the Golden Eagle. Michael D on Twitter. Have either of you listened to the Rogers Pat McAfee interview following his vaccine status? If so, what are your thoughts on it? I personally found it cringeworthy. Michael, go back to the main body of the Sounding Board. Hutchie had seen some of it. I hadn't, but we discussed the Rogers issue in detail. We'll move on to this one. John Malici on email. Hi, Hutchie, Damo, and Jane. With the announcement of the removal of skinfold testing for draft prospects, is the AFL not preparing the young players for the reality of life inside the AFL? Generally, as a society, we are not teaching valuable lessons to children that in life you may not always win or things may not go your way, but it's the lessons learned and how you react that is the most important thing.
John, I think, you know, I come from that school. Unfortunately, it's the minority of the community at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's, so I'm out of step a little bit with it.
John, I had intended, or we had intended anyway, to talk about this issue on the main body this week. We just, the day got away from us, we didn't.
You told me at the start of the main body we had nothing to talk about today.
There's plenty, wasn't
there? We didn't get through it in an hour.
I'm just going through the list, Hutchie. There's four things we didn't get to. One of them, John, was this skinfold issue. I'll just quickly summarise what I was going to say in the main body, had we got to it, Hutchie, was at some stage of the future, a bit like at the stage of the future right now, when we look back at what happened at concussion, where a player was knocked out cold and was allowed back on the ground sometimes within 15 minutes, I'm going to take the strong view, Hutchie. At some stage of the future, we're going to look back to the relative now and go, hang on, we got 17-year-old people to strip down to underwear and we did a skinfold test on them? I can't see that happening in the future. So as such,
you think it's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing they've banned it. From a recruitment perspective, I think once the athlete goes to the club, I think it's a different set of circumstances then. I think the club itself, once they're under the roof of the club they've joined, as a professional athlete, I think skinfold tests are okay. But as a sell process to yourself when you're being about to be drafted, as a 17-year-old doing school exams as well, I think no.
Does it make your physical condition subjective rather than proven, though?
Is there an
argument you can be judged unfairly?
Absolutely. I mean, can you kick a footy? Do you get it enough? I think that's all you need to know as a recruit. The skinfold thing can happen after the event. And I'm more uncomfortable with that in recent years. And when Kel Toomey broke this story back in March, I was surprised they were still doing it. But that's just, again, we didn't get into detail on it. Rick Batch on Twitter. On Morning Radio today, Fev mentioned Hutchie's old nickname was Oscar, as in Oscar the Grouch, because he was always hiding in bins. What's the best nickname either of you have ever been given? Listening to SEN or Triple M.
Well, first of all, Rich.
Is that true?
First of all, the first time I've ever heard that word, Oscar, was when Fev said it yesterday. So he entirely made that up.
A bit of theatre from Fev.
Secondly, he didn't seem to mind too much of being the subject of journalism in his day. Including from time to time.
I wish we had erased this.
Including from time to time when it benefited him. So so that's an interesting one. I didn't hear the joke, but I'm sure it was all in good fun.
Oh, there's a... if Fev has scratched something there. Francis Curo on Twitter. On a news site, how do they decide what order to put the sections, that is, on a News Corp website? Sport is always a longer scroll down. Purely what gets the numbers... Love the show.
It's a general store, Francis, so whatever sells the best is highlighted the biggest in the aisles, in the shopping aisles.
We would go into sites like that, though, and I do on that one, but in question, Hutchie, I do. As I told you, I still subscribe to the newspaper itself. But the sport is always down the bottom, and that's the only reason I'm going to it, as a rule.
Yep.
There must be a reason for it. I know the big sports stories get elevated to the lead slot.
Yep.
But the general run-of-the-mill stuff's down the bottom.
Yeah.
There must be a reason.
Traffic.
I know it's...
Big stuff goes to the front. Yeah.
Michael on Twitter asks, do I need a warming strategy after dropping
your first swear word? Yeah, Michael.
It's a good point, Michael.
I've had to deal with a lot of letters during the week.
Oh, have you?
I've written back personally to all of them apologising on behalf of Damo for his fruity language last week.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I let myself down last week.
You did.
Yeah. David Haley on Facebook, thoughts on Tyson Stengel to Geelong?
I think it's worth a throw at the stumps.
Yeah, I do too.
Huge upside.
I like the move. Juice Sasso on Twitter. You're only discussing the Dugowie situation standing down on August 16, Series 6, Episode 29. Dugowie. Anyway, but my question is, Dave Portney and the Barstool sports team are having big issues at the moment. Are boys' clubs on the way out? I did see an article linking me to that. I didn't actually read it. Sasso? I'll have to get back to you. But yes, they are and should be.
I've read it at length over the last week. The Business Insider versus Barstool Sports incident. Well, no, it's not an incident. Accusations, I guess.
Right.
For those who haven't followed along, Dave Portnoy, who's one of the most influential media owners in the country at the moment, has launched his own pizza range, One Bite. Barstool has made a living out of sports fans. It wouldn't wash here in Australia. It's out of step with our community standards, I guess, and it's too blokey. I admire him a lot as a businessman, but I don't think the product is fair and reasonable at times. Or a lot of they do some great things.
I think the issue though that Juice Sasso is referring to
I'm setting that up.
Sorry.
The Business Insider wrote a story on a sexual allegation.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring
against,
to.
Dave, and he has hit back with an attack on Business Insider. Are boys' clubs on the way out? Well, they are being held to high account in the States by media, and that's a good thing. I wouldn't speak to the specific allegations here because he denies them significantly and has hit back with pretty strong return on. But what he has exposed is the sometimes conflicted interests of those covering him. So it's a very complicated story. And I don't know, and because you don't know what's right or wrong, you can't comment.
Yep. John Stevens on Twitter last week on the podcast, Damien said, who cares what the public thinks? Does Hutchie share this opinion? Wouldn't the head of major TV or radio networks care what the public think in regards to their choice of commentators? Now, John, my reference to that was it was more along the lines of the moment that media outlets are influenced by what the public thinks is the moment they probably should get out of doing what they do. And that was in relation to a list, wasn't it, Hutchie, and some feedback, I think, from the public. I think if you spent your time worrying about what the public think, you wouldn't get out of bed at times, Hutchie. Is that fair to say?
Well, the public's not a collective, right? There's you can't – if you put six of us for lunch today, we wouldn't agree on nearly anything. So what the public thinks is no longer a thing because everyone thinks differently.
You've said that too on this podcast, that you don't care what people think about what you say? You've said that?
Yeah, I know.
You've said that more than I have.
Yeah, I don't think you can convince people of your view, really, in life. You've just got to live your life the way you want to and respect theirs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Chris Kayas, regular listener on Twitter, in relation to vaccination, Damien regularly says he won't advocate for it as he won't tell people what they should do. Then a few minutes later, he'll tell people to drink wise. Is this inconsistency just because of the sponsorship or is there a place for people in high-profile positions to encourage good behaviours?
Do you want to have a crack at that?
You have a crack first, yeah.
Well, put it this way. I don't know of anyone in the world that doesn't think you should drink wise and within reason.
Having had a few experiences of not drinking wisely in my life, and when I say that, minor end unwisely, Hutchie, but...
It is a blanket community message that we wholeheartedly endorse.
Yes.
Wholeheartedly endorse. In fact, a social cause is one of the reasons we went into this podcast.
No, you did. We did. Yep.
And it... for us was the ultimate social course because it's built upon moderation and respect.
And even just saying it actually makes you think about it.
In, by the way.
In terms of the vaccination, I'm not Chris. There's other people out there telling people what to do. As I keep saying,
vaccination's a bigger and deeper issue that's even more divisive and personal for people.
Yep.
You've landed on a position that you don't want people to tell them what to do.
Yes. I'm happy for them to do whatever they want to do, but obviously when they make their decision, they're mindful of there being consequences.
Yep. You're saying if you don't want to be vaccinated, that's fine, but just don't hurt anybody else in the process.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Chris, quite simply,
get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting on the fence on this at all.
No, you're not.
It is absolutely essential that people get vaccinated and play their role in keeping others safe.
I agree with that, Hutchie. I'm just not telling them to do that. Ben, I am. You're totally on Facebook. This is a question for Damien. He is the horse racing expert in there. I think the tongue is firmly in cheek there on that one, Hutchie. What's your view on the fact that the races in Sydney deliberately run late and do not jump on time, solely so that they can hold viewers' attention longer and give less airtime to those that switch between Sydney and Melbourne? Now, this is taking conspiracy theories. Well, oh, look, from a turnover perspective,
Ben almost stumbled on the real story there. It's not to hold their attention, Ben.
It's to increase revenue in those final frantic betting moments, Hutchie.
The conspiracy theorists, the cynics might say that, don't they? You're among them.
If that's happening, Ben, and I can confirm that that did seem to happen a lot in the Sydney racing, I would argue it's more to do with the turnover that is unloaded on a big race in the final seconds before they even go into a barrier. With every second that goes beyond the start time.
I don't think it's deliberately run, right? I think they've just had logistical issues.
And guess what? It's not only the Sydney races that do it either. Actually, every single one does it. But it might have happened a bit. Well done, Ben. You might have identified something for reasons that you didn't quite pick up on, but well played. Well, that might be it, Archie. There's a lot of people haven't gone at me this week, Archie. It was a question about my
last
muscle
one
car.
From Jared. Damo, do you park your American muscle car as well as your difficult topics during? I'll re-ask that in the Damo language. Damo, do you park your American muscle car as well as you do difficult topics during episodes of the main body of the sounding board?
Jared, the parker of topics on this show is Hutchie, not me. And if I ended up parking topics, it's only because Hutchie ended up raising good topics in the final minute of a 45-minute show when he should have raised it from the outset. So, and I do park my car pretty well too, by the way, Jared. That was question time on the sounding board for DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo for DrinkWise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.